Welcome in to the PFF College Football Podcast. I'm Seth Galina. I'm here with Anthony Tresh. We're going to recap this week's slate of games, starting with the game that we thought was going to be an upset. It was not an upset. Notre Dame kind of handles Boston College pretty well. They handled them handily, 45-31. Ian Book, again, another big game from him. He looks like a completely different quarterback. I'm surprised by how much points Boston College scored, to tell you the truth, because there were times when Phil Jurkovec did not look like a good quarterback. They do score points, but Notre Dame ends up comfortably winning by two touchdowns and really covering.
Yeah, I mean, like Phil Jurkovec, it kind of seems like he's a guy that can't, you know, if you're down by a few touchdowns, you're pretty much done. It just seems like every single time that's happened this year, he just makes these boneheaded throws, and we saw that yesterday. But like you said, Ian Book, man, I've been really impressed with him. I mean, you know, he used to be a little reluctant to throw the ball downfield, and his accuracy—that's
the main thing.
Yeah, and his accuracy too, when he did not look like what it was last season. And over the last two games, it's been back to where it was. I mean, the guy's been incredibly accurate with the ball. So, I mean, he has the best negatively graded throw rate over the last 2 weeks. I mean, if he keeps this up, Notre Dame's up there. They're a contender without a doubt.
Because like they're good everywhere else. Maybe not, you know, receiver, whatever. But like a great quarterback play makes up for you know, average receiver play anyways. So they're great at the offensive line. They can run the football. They can pass protect. Exactly. Defense, we know. Okay, obviously, like they gave some points this week and last week to Boston College and Clemson. I feel like, I mean, they at least have like stars on their defense. Maybe not the complete unit that I thought it was, but there's enough stars on there that are going to make plays for them. Cornerback, safety, linebacker, etc. But when you have inconsistent quarterback play, what you get is, yeah, okay, we can go out and beat a Georgia Tech team by 100 points and there's no problem because we have better players. But we're also going to look like fools against a really bad Louisville team. Now you flipped it and you say, well, Ian Book is a 90-plus player. All of a sudden, everything looks great because you have all that foundation and that structure there with everyone else on the field. And Book now playing as an elite quarterback. I mean, this team is – the sky's the limit for this team if Book keeps playing like this.
Yeah,
and especially, like I said, throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah, he actually made a comment after the game saying the last two games that he feels like he's been more on page with his receivers. And, I mean, you can kind of see that. I've been impressed with the Northwestern transfer, Ben Skoranek, outside of the fumble, yeah. Of course. He looked, I mean, if he didn't fumble that ball, I'm sure he probably would have made our team of the week. I'm really impressed with what he's done as of late. He didn't do anything at Northwestern at all. Battled some injuries there, of course, at the end. But, you know, if these two get clicking, man, I'm excited to watch this Notre Dame team from here on out. I was suspicious. We were all suspicious of him here at PFF outside of our guy, Mike Rayner. He's die hard no matter what with Notre Dame. But yeah, this is going to be a dangerous team, I feel like. But I'm really excited for their next game against UNC North Carolina, because Sam Howell, man, that guy is wheeling and dealing as of late.
Yeah, this is one of the team that we think is very good. You know, I think you probably like them a lot more than I did coming into the season, and you've been proven right. You know, the Florida State game is an aberration and not the actual trend of this team. And you know, what did you say earlier on this season? Yeah. They're like making him into they're making Sam Howell into a quarterback that he's not. They're making him play quarterback. And last year they let him be an RPO quarterback. And it's like, you know, an RPO downfield thrower. That was one of the things I really liked about that I still like about Phil Longo's offense is like, they will take if you give them a one-on-one, whether it's a run play called or not, they're going to take your chances of one-on-one down the field, whether it's a slot fade or a go route or whatever. They're finally doing that again, throwing the ball down the field, and his accuracy down the field is stunning. It was stunning last year. It's stunning this year. And the way they're scoring points is insane.
Yeah, and I think like the biggest thing is like they just wanted him to eliminate the bad mistakes downfield, and they're just trying to make him kind of like flawless. But I mean, just let the guy throw the ball downfield. If he throws an interception every once in a while, who cares? I mean,
yeah,
he,
and it, over the last, we saw his eyes. I remember now. Now you reminded me. I remember in the early weeks, his eyes were bad. He wasn't really looking off safeties, or not seeing safeties and throwing the ball to them. I'm thinking about the Andre Sisco interception against Syracuse, which feels like 3 years ago. But yeah, no, exactly. Like let him play.
Exactly. And I think they realized that second half of that Florida State game. They're like, oh, shit, maybe we made a mistake these first few weeks. And then ever since then, he's led the FBS in average depth of target. And on throws of 10 or more yards downfield, he has over 1,300 yards. That's 500 more yards on such throws than any other quarterback. I mean, I was absolutely shocked to find that out. But, I mean, that's what you should have been doing from the start. I thought the defense would be a little bit better than they have been. But ultimately, when you have a guy like Sam Howell, this team really should be undefeated, in my opinion.
All right, let's flip over to the other freshman quarterback, true freshman quarterback from last year, who we had high hopes for, who is not performing at that level after 2 weeks, and that's Keaton Slovis of USC. So they go in, they get another big drive late in the game to beat Arizona, a very bad Arizona team, though we both love their quarterback, Grant Gunnell, who played well, you know, minus the first, you know, basically his third throw of the game, which was an overthrow that was intercepted. They get a win. USC's 2-0. The schedule sets up pretty easily for them. But what the hell's going on with Keaton Slovis?
Yeah, man, I don't know. I'm really disappointed. I mean, like, he started off the game really bad, and I was like, okay, this is how this year's going to go then with Keaton Slovis. But in that second half, he gave me some hopes. I thought he played really well in that second half to really lead USC to the comeback win there. He was actually the second highest graded quarterback in the Power 5 in the second half this week, and I think we talked about this before. I said he was going to be the first overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft. Yeah. Don't think he's going to be that, but I think he could. I still like what he has. I think he has the potential still to be that college football star and, you know, that one of those elite premier quarterbacks in college football. I don't think he's quite there yet, but I still think he's capable of doing it.
Yeah, the only thing I'm worried about is, like, Arizona is bad.
Yeah.
They lost a ton of players from last year. It was like their top three tacklers or something like that. So yeah, I'm not. But again, the schedule sets up nicely, so we might see them, you know, run the table, and then you know, at the end of the day, you have one game against Oregon. There's obviously elite talent on that USC team. So even if the schedule sets up nicely, you play one game against Oregon, win that game, and maybe we'll see them in the college football semifinals. Okay, let's move back up to Florida. You know, really the only SEC game that mattered this week to a certain degree. They go in, another huge performance by Kyle Trask, 6 touchdowns. They score 63 points on Arkansas, beat them 63-35. You know, it's funny because, like, a lot of people, well, this is the best pass defense in the SEC, Arkansas. But there's, like, it's weird. They're a weird. Yes, they've had some really good games. They've also had some really not good games. And this was one of their not good games against a team that's just better than them, like it was against Texas A&M. But, you know, we have to talk about Kyle Trask, of course. He has been a top quarterback in our grading now throughout the season. We still believe that Dan Mullen is pulling the strings a little bit here. One of the things that we just talked about off the air was that when you look at where Dan Mullen was sending his receivers last season, it was above average, you know, compared to the rest of FBS, to the middle of the field. And when you watch Florida this season, you're seeing a lot of throws to the outside of the hash marks, outside of the numbers. And that's really helped Kyle Trask because he's still pretty accurate. His accuracy numbers are down a bit this year, but he's still pretty accurate. But you're not letting him do that Kyle Trask thing where he's going to throw to underneath defenders. He's not going to see them. And he's going to throw you know, to the opposite team. You're not letting him do that anymore. And the results are, they're fucking unbelievable, really.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think that's what's, I think a lot of, I think some people might get in trouble when it comes draft time with Kyle Trask because of this reason, because we're not seeing, I mean, they're completely avoiding those types of throws. And so we're not seeing him make those types of mistakes, but in the NFL, can't get away with that. So, I mean, but from a solely from a college football standpoint over the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, earlier to start the year, I mean, I didn't want to invest too much in that Ole Miss performance because it's Ole Miss. I mean, hey, at this point, all pass coverage defenses in the SEC are not good, I think we can say. But Ole Miss is on a whole new level of bad. But then the next two games, especially in that Texas A&M game, it was so clear that it was a supporting cast, the playmakers around him, the offense overall, Dan Mullen, really setting up this offense for success more than Kyle Trask, but yet he was still putting up numbers. But against Georgia, it got a little bit, the throws were a little bit tougher to hit. I mean, still they weren't the easiest ones. I mean, they were still a little impressive, you know. He still had that elite PFF grade, and then this past week, you know, managed to top that with another career high performance. And I really liked his ball placement downfield. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, he really used his wide receivers leverage too on one of those touchdowns as well. In the back right corner of the end zone. So, I mean, I was really impressed with Kyle Trask. There still was a couple of turnover-worthy throws in this one that, you know, it was 2019 Kyle Trask. You're just kind of like, dude, what are you doing throwing that type of ball? But still, you know, he's making a lot better throws than he did downfield, than he did last season, even earlier in the year. So I think at this point we can say he is in that elite type of status because – he's still being propped up, like you said, by Dan Mullen, but it's not, I mean, still not many quarterbacks can make some of the throws he made against Arkansas on Saturday. So I've been really impressed with how he kind of developed in that regard. So I'm ready to call Kyle Trask a top 10 quarterback in college football. But as far as the next level goes, I'm going to leave that to our draft guys, but I think there should be some concern there.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty close to how I feel too, and just the fact that Dan Mullen has decided that they're going to throw the ball down the field more is allowing him to put up these numbers, because they just weren't doing that last year, whether it was, and I think it was both Dan Mullen's offense and Kyle Trask's lack of trust down the field. And you're not, so like, you know, if you're not, you have to be Drew Brees, like to grade highly in our system. If you're not throwing the ball down the field, you have to be Drew Brees, meaning you cannot make any mistakes in the, you know, under 20 yards. And that's what Drew Brees has done for so long. That's why he always has a 90 plus grade in our system. With Trask, you're not throwing the ball down the field and you're making mistakes. You know, like we always say, throwing to the opposite team. Now they're throwing the ball down the field. So even if you make a mistake or two in the game, you know, looking at the Georgia game, late in the game, he throws that what should have been a pick six and it gets dropped. Well, it's okay because you're throwing all these darts, you know, down the sideline and creating all these big time throws, and your grade is going to reflect that 100%. All right, let's move on to Miami. Speaking of big time throws down the sideline, Miami comes back, gets the win against Virginia Tech. Not that I'm a fan of either these two teams, but I'm excited because I think that it would be really the chaos of Clemson somehow not getting into the college to the ACC title game now that they have one loss is interesting, and so we need Miami to keep winning for that to happen, and they do it.
Yeah, I mean, this was definitely one of our like most interesting games like entering the week, just because Virginia Tech was favored and I thought Miami would be by quite a bit, but I think I don't. This is going to be a very interesting matchup. I'm still looking forward to this Miami North Carolina game here in a few weeks. I think that's going to be a fireworks one. That's what I keep going back to every single time I think of Miami, just because of Sam Howell, North Carolina. But still, again, Derek King, you know, nowhere near what he did, that, you know, a couple of weeks ago in week 10 when he was our PFF offensive player of the week, you know, as expected, but still managed to pull out the victory. But I'm all for it. I'm ready for the chaos. I think the Big Ten might actually have a chance to have some chaos with next week's games.
Okay, Indiana totally shuts down Michigan State 24-0. One of the best defensive performances we've seen, though. That might be more of a Michigan State offense
100%.
issue than maybe Indiana. But they're doing everything they need to do the past few weeks to set up the big game with Ohio State.
Yeah, and like I said before this, next weekend there could be some big time chaos in the Big Ten because we have Indiana and Ohio State, the first and second place teams in the Big Ten East, and then Northwestern, Wisconsin, the first and second place teams in the Big Ten West. If either Indiana or Northwestern somehow wins, it's going to be very, very interesting for the Big Ten championship. And I really do think if Indiana plays perfect and Michael Penix Jr., he still had over the last couple of weeks, he's still making a few just really bad decisions. And you're just like, we didn't really see that last year, but they're just kind of popping up over the last 2 weeks. He can't do that against Ohio State because they're going to capitalize off of that. They're not going to drop the pick. And if they intercept it, they're going to turn it into points on the scoreboard. They can't afford to have that happen. So if Michael Penix plays nearly flawless, I think they have a good chance to give Ohio State a run for their money. That being said, I'm still banking on Ohio State winning this game because Justin Fields is playing just about as perfect as you possibly can at the quarterback position. But like you said, Indiana's defense, I thought they played really well. But again, that was more of a product of Michigan State's offense because they're just not good at all right now. But yeah, I mean, it was good to see, them kind of have this type of win here. And then also Northwestern too, I kind of think they might be Wisconsin. Graham Mertz, he didn't really. He played okay, but it wasn't that magical performance he had against Illinois. I think there's a real chance because Peyton Ramsey again is leading this offense, this passing offense, to an efficient one, and the defense is playing extremely well. So I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm picking that right now. Northwestern over Wisconsin next week. I liked what I saw from them, and I wasn't a big fan of what was. I can't even put much valuation on Wisconsin because they played Illinois and then they played Michigan, who might even be the worst team in the Big Ten now.
All first-time depositors at Monkey Knife Fight that put at least $20 into their account while using promo code PFF will receive a free PFF Edge annual subscription. So that's a $40 value for just $20. And you'll get that opportunity to turn that $20 into even more money playing daily fantasy football and prop games at one of the fastest-growing fantasy sports sites in the USA in Monkey Knife Fight. Go to Monkey Knife Fight and deposit your $20 with promo code PFF today to receive your free PFF Edge annual subscription. PFF and Sunday Night Football's Chris Collinsworth is teaming up with one of the best players on and off the field, 49ers All-Pro cornerback Richard Sherman. The Chris Collinsworth podcast featuring Richard Sherman is available now wherever you find your podcasts. They will provide the most interesting football conversation in sports every week. And sometimes that means the discussion will venture off the field too. Additionally, Chris will be taking a dive into the game of football as he sees it, inviting in the best and brightest to talk about everything that is happening in the great game of football. Mark your calendars. You do not want to miss the best 60 minutes of insight this season. MooseFit is a premium online workout program and remote coaching service that provides you with daily workouts based on your goals, the time you have available, and the equipment that you have at your disposal. Purchase your MooseFit membership, and a MooseFit coach will reach out to you with a questionnaire. Based on the information provided in the questionnaire, your MooseFit coach will either assign a pre-made program to you or will create your custom program for you. No two programs are the same. MooseFit is well equipped to help provide you with daily workouts that will help you reach your health and fitness goals. For PFF listeners, use code PFF50 and receive 50% off your first month. For more information, check them out on Instagram at MooseFit or on their website, www.moosefit.com. In these uncertain times, life is full of questions like, when should I start thinking about life insurance? But however difficult these questions may be, Western and Southern can help you answer them. Backed by over 130 years of experience, together, we can look ahead to leave the unknown behind. Western and Southern Financial Group, life insurance, retirement, and investments. Yeah, I think this is the problem I have with Wisconsin right now. It's like those are the two worst defenses maybe in the Big Ten right now. Illinois and Michigan. Mertz is interesting because we're on the same page that he threw. I mean, you looked at those numbers after the Illinois game, but every throw he made was catchable, and we've never seen that in the PFF era before. But man, when people are open, it's easy to throw catchable targets. And people were open against Illinois' defense. And now we saw, you know, obviously not a great defense this year in Michigan, but probably better players. And the results are, okay, 127 yards.
Still 12 put up 49 points.
And they scored 49 points. But so much of that is like Michigan gave them the ball back every 2 seconds. Like
they
had 4 yards after like 20 minutes of play. So that's, I think this is more on Michigan and everything.
I'm curious to see would
I pick them to beat Northwestern? I'm not sure yet, but I would love that because I like Peyton Ramsey and I like what Northwestern's doing. I'd be excited for that game. Like you said, this is the biggest games on either side of the of the Big Ten coming up this week.
Is Jim Harbaugh going to leave after this year? I have a feeling he might go back to the NFL.
Well, I mean, look, if they keep losing games, would be a pretty easy way to get out.
I wouldn't be surprised if we went back to his old former team, the Chicago Bears, because they're having some coaching issues right now. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Michigan football coming up here pretty soon.
All right, let's go to some group of five quickly. On Friday night, Cincinnati did what we'd expect them to do. Important note, Desmond Ridder continues to throw the ball downfield. They couldn't throw the ball down the field, but they were still scoring a bunch of points because they were just probably better than a lot of the teams they were facing. Now they're able to throw the ball down the field. The defense is still stunningly good, and they get the win. Marshall stays undefeated, beats Middle Tennessee 42-14. Another big day from Grant Wells. They, you know, look, very good offensive line in Marshall. They protect him, and then you have a really accurate quarterback. Good things are going to happen. They stay undefeated. Liberty stay undefeated, though. I mean, they didn't really play Western Carolina, who was playing their first game of the year. 58-14. Malik Willis, another, 400 yards of total offense, another big game there. So what are your thoughts on these, the undefeated group of five teams? And BYU didn't play this week.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to BYU playing, I think it's North Alabama next week. That ought to be a competitive one. But Malik Willis, again, we've talked about it. He might be better than Bo Nix. I think he might be.
I mean,
you can't really put much into this. They played Western Carolina, for God's sake, there. And that was our first game of the year. Grant Wells, I was talking with Bruce Gretkowski, and he brought up this name. He's like, I got this small school guy I'm really high on under the radar. And I was like, it was popping in my head. Like, I wonder who he's talking about. And he said, Grant Wells. And I said, me and Seth, we always talk about how much we like Grant Wells. But I still, I'm not going to, put too much into him because all of his best games have come against really, really bad competition.
Yeah, what it is you're getting like three games of like insane elite play and then three games of like very middling play. Exactly. And that's kind of propping up his grade, I think.
Yeah, I mean, his best games of the year, Eastern Kentucky, Louisiana Tech, which Louisiana Tech's defense is absolutely gutted from last year, Middle Tennessee from this past week, and then UMass. I mean, that's really not a very confident thing there, but still, I'm impressed with him. I still think I like his arm talent, what he brings to the table. But I think this team might get a little exposed come bowl time when they actually play, an actual defense too, and then they pretty much have a pretty cupcake schedule here to close it out too. So I think they're going to go undefeated, get a power five in the bowl game, and I think we're going to see a big-time blowout. I hope not, because I really like that offensive line, man. It's filthy from top to bottom. But yeah, and we didn't get Coastal Carolina, which, we've talked about. That sucks. That was upsetting.
Yeah. And then Cincinnati, we're going to talk, I think, a lot about this
team. Oh, yeah, Cincinnati.
Talk about them on this weekend. During the week on the podcast because they have a big game coming up. But anyways, go ahead.
I don't know how that slipped my mind. Desmond Ridder, he threw the ball downfield.
That's your boy.
I know. Actually hit deep balls. He had the most deep passing yards in a single game this season this past week. If he can do that against UCF, they're winning by 30 or 40. 100%.
I know. It's not even – it's – yeah.
That, and I'm afraid they're not even going to make the college football playoff at this point. I think with the way Notre Dame's playing, I don't know. If Notre Dame wins out, I think they make it no matter what. I think they would
– Well, they need Notre Dame to beat Clemson again. That's really the – for me, that's probably the main thing.
I think if Notre Dame loses to Clemson in the title game, I think they're still putting them in over a Cincinnati team.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. Like Cincinnati needs Notre Dame to – they need Clemson to have two losses, right?
That is a good point. That is a very good point. And
that's tough. But I guess my question is going to be, let's say they go undefeated, BYU or Cincinnati. Who do you think deserves it, and who would you want to see?
BYU, 100%.
Yeah,
because I think so too. It's offense. You need your offense to put up points on the board. I think Zach Wilson – is that good enough where he can lead his offense to, a lot of success against the type of, one of these powerhouse schools. I don't think they're going to beat him, but I think that it wouldn't be an absolute blowout. Now, Cincinnati, on the other hand, I think they don't have the even remotely close to the offense to be competitive in a CFP semifinal game. I think they're one of the best group. I think they're right there with BYU as one of the best. You put them up against a group of five school, they're going to blow them out every single time. But I just don't have much faith. If Desmond Ridder can hit those deep balls against UCF, like I said, blow them out. But when it comes to Alabama, Ohio State, I can't see him actually doing it just because he's been so inconsistent through the air.
Okay, let's finish it off going back to the West Coast. An interesting game, I thought, Oregon and Washington State. So Washington State jumps out to an early lead. A lot of Oregon mistakes. It looks like they're going to go into halftime up by 11 or 12, I believe. And then, man, they allow a Oregon with 20 seconds left in the half. They allow an Oregon receiver to get behind them, and Oregon scores a touchdown when they really, have no business going down the field in three plays with, I think they got the ball back with 24 seconds left in the half. And then from that point on, with 24 seconds left in the half, total domination by an Oregon team that kind of we expected to do this. And Tyler Shuck was not good in the first half, up until that point. Then they figure out the run game. He starts making plays with his legs, makes a few throws, and it looks like the Oregon team that we thought we were going to get. Still, kudos to Washington State, who's probably going to make some noise and maybe get an upset at some point this season.
Yeah, I was really impressed with how Tyler Shuck kind of he still kind of had there was a bad throw mixed in there, and he had a couple of them in his debut. But still, I am very impressed with his from an accuracy standpoint, and he can sling it. I mean, he made a couple of really impressive big time throws in this one. I think he all of a sudden, like, we came into this year and I thought the Pac-12 was going to be absolutely abysmal because I didn't think they had very many good quarterbacks. I had faith in Keaton Slovis. Grant Connell, I was holding out hope, and we'll see with Chase Garbers. But after that, I thought it was going to be a little bit of a dumpster fire because of how, all these, first-year starters coming in. But, Tyler Shuck, Jaden DeLora, Sam Neuer from Colorado, who just saw this coming, fifth-year seniors just wheeling and dealing. He's never started a game in his career, and when he has come in, he looked absolutely awful. And so I am incredibly impressed with, what he's done. But Tyler Shuck, I think he has a chance maybe next year to challenge Keaton Slovis as the top Pac-12 quarterback. I'm not sure if you feel the same way. This is your boy. You're calling this guy from day one. The Heisman hype. I think he could get there next year.
Yeah, I'm a fan. It's been like up and down to start the year to a certain degree, but I still hold that hope. It's only just two games into his career, and then we're gonna get a full season this year and next year. So I'm definitely
he's better in
this cautious but excited.
I think he's better in this offense than Justin Herbert is for sure.
Well, it's a new offense though. Let's not forget, and we can see what that offense is doing at UNLV this season.
Yeah, well, what I meant by that, he's doing more for this team. I mean, last year, Justin Herbert was more in those big games. His defense really saved his behind there. But I think Tyler Shuck is actually leading an efficient offense, whereas Justin Herbert really couldn't. No disrespect to him. I mean, he's doing surpassing expectations at the NFL level, yeah. but I think Tyler Shuck's going to be a better quarterback than him.
Yeah, I mean, look, Herbert was a four-year starter and like did a lot, and did grade really well early in his career. Just like never produced the same production going forward. I don't know if I'm ready to say that, but like you said,
hot take for you.
It's a little bit of a spicy hot take, but yes, Tyler Shuck can be a tremendously good quarterback, I think.
Speaking of good offenses, before we sign off here,
we're going to talk about the Buffalo Bills and my favorite quarterback, Kyle Van Trees, the punter quarterback. We're not going to do that. Are we going to do that?
I mean, we can do that. We can do that after Ole Miss here, though, with Lane Kiffin and Matt Corral. My goodness, these guys, they were their most efficient passing offense of the week. They now have three of the top 10 games this season in the Power 5 in passing efficiency. I mean, if they just didn't have borderline liabilities on the defensive side of the ball, not borderline, they are liabilities on the defensive side of the ball, this could be a very good Ole Miss team. And then, too, that I'm not sure if you saw it when they scored the big touchdown and Lane Kiffin saw the touchdown before anyone else threw up the clipboard. You go back and from the start of the season, you watch every single big explosive touchdown. I swear, Lane Kiffin knows it's a touchdown before anyone else on the field knows it's a touchdown. You see that guy throw up the signal and start running down the field before the ball's even at Matt Corral's hands every single time. You know, I'm really impressed with this. But, of course, Kyle Van Trees, Buffalo, Malcolm Kutz, Taylor Riggins, I really like those guys in the offensive line. But Kyle Van Trees, this is your time to hype up your guy.
Well, it's like, to tell you the truth, I haven't watched any Buffalo this year, but I did write the article this offseason about the underrated group of five players, and he was my quarterback. He was my number one quarterback in the group of five coming, to start this season. And now we've seen two games of him, and they're both 80 plus grades. 89.9 offensive grade, 90.1 passing grade this season. He's been tremendous. 83 last year. He's improved upon it, even though obviously we're only talking about two games here. So I'm excited. He was their punter last year. He started the season as their punter at Kyle Van Trees, and now he took over as quarterback in the middle of 2019, and he's been legit ever since then. Wow.
What happens if Buffalo goes undefeated? Do they challenge for that final playoff spot?
Yeah, they. I just put them in. I think we should just have a. We'll have like, you know what? It would be. You look at what's going on, okay? With like the scheduling, you have a Pac-12 game that is going to be played. We're recording this before this game. The Cal game is being played. Cal UCLA. It's Cal UCLA, right? Am I wrong here?
Yeah, I think so. I have no idea. I'm not even sure if Cal knows who they're playing.
Well, so this is the thing. It's like we're this game is happening on a whim. On Friday, they decided Thursday. They're just going to play this game. Hadn't looked at spend a whole week practicing for one team, and you decide, well, no, you're actually going to be playing a different team on 2 days before the game.
9 a.m. local time.
Yeah. We're getting like all sorts of games that are being, throughout the whole college football landscape, all sorts of games that are being rescheduled and played and out of conference and this and that, which is kind of like going in the face of everything that we've been told about scheduling in college football for our entire lives. Well, we can't make any changes in the schedule and stuff like that. So why can't we, and like the powers that be don't want this to happen, but why can't we have like a G5 playoff? And like, obviously this is never going to happen, but we'll put in, Cincy and BYU as the top two seeds. Then they play against, Liberty and whether it's Buffalo or Coastal Carolina or Marshall or whatever. Or we even have a bigger tournament and the BYU and Cincinnati get byes, and then they play the winners of the other teams, like something like that. And that team plays as the number four seed in the big tourney. That, ooh. I mean, it'll never happen, but it won't happen because the P5 players, and I mean like the head honchos don't want to lose out on any money. But that would be incredible. And you could do it because scheduling is all bullshit, as we found out.
I think I'm still in, you know, a big advocate that I think they need to expand this bad boy. I want to see a 16-team playoff.
100%.
I think, I mean, I don't know what the big deal is about it. You're going to get more money spread around. And I genuinely think that there would be some type of upset, at least one big time upset in that type of tournament.
Yeah, but it's never going to happen. So
it's not.
The most, the 16 is too much. Well, because I think me and you are in the same boat where it's like, I want to see, there's not enough good on good games during the regular season. There's the gulf in class between the teams that are going to be in the college football playoff year to year and the rest of their conferences minus the SEC is too great. So like, yo, give us more games between good teams in important matches. But probably not going to happen anytime soon, especially at 16, six, possibly eight, possibly, probably not 16. All right. That's enough of us rambling on about college football. You can catch us doing the same thing on Thursday morning when our podcast comes out during the week. Pretty sure this week I have former USC quarterback coach Yogi Roth on the program talking up, chopping up quarterback play with him. So stay tuned for that. All right. From me and Anthony, have a good week.